अंगपरमस्य हि योगमायाम्। वेदाहमंगपरमस्य हि योगमायाम्। यूयं भवश्च भगवान्न तदैत्यवर्यः आत्मी मनोश्च च मनुश्च तदात्मजश्च प्राचीनव्याह्यरिभुअंग उता ध्रुवश्च
Onarda. Although the potencies of the Lord are unknowable and immeasurable, still, because we are all surrendered souls, we know how he acts through Yogamaya potencies. And similarly, the potencies of the Lord are also known to the all-powerful Shiva, the great king of the atheistic family, namely Prahlad Maharaj, Swayambhuva Manu, his wife Shatarupa, his sons and daughters like Priyavrat, Uttanapada, Akuti, Devahuti, and Prashuti, Prachini Barhi, Ribhu, Anga, the father of Vena, Maharaj Dhruva, Ikshvaku, Aila, Muchakunda, Maharaj Janak, Gadhi, Raghu, Ambarish, Sagara, Gaya, Nahusha, Mandhata, Alarka, Shatadhanve, Anu, Rantidev, Bhishma, Bali, Amuataraya, Dilip, Sobhari, Uthanka, Shibhi, Devala, Pipalada, Saraswata, Udhava, Parasara, Bhurishena, Vibhishan, Hanuman, Sukadev Goswami, Arjuna, Aristashena, Vidura, Shutadev, etc. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All the great devotees of the Lord, as mentioned above, who flourished in the past or present, and all the devotees of the Lord who will come in the future are aware of the different potencies of the Lord along with the potency of his name, quality, pastimes, entourage, personality, etc. And how do they know? Certainly it is not by mental speculation, nor by any attempt by dint of limited instruments of knowledge. By the limited instruments of knowledge, either the senses or the material instruments like microscopes and telescopes, one cannot even fully know the Lord's material potencies, which are manifested before our eyes. For example, there are many millions and billions of planets far, far beyond the scientist's calculation. But these are only the manifestations of the Lord's material energy. What can the scientists hope to know of the spiritual potency of the Lord by such material efforts? Mental speculations, by adding some dozens of ifs and maybes, cannot aid the advancement of knowledge. On the contrary, such mental speculations will only end in despair by dismissing the case abruptly and declaring the non-existence of God. The sane man, therefore, ceases to speculate on subjects beyond the jurisdiction of his tiny brain. And as a matter of course, he tries to learn to surrender unto the Supreme Lord, who alone can lead one to the platform of real knowledge. In the Upanishads, it is clearly said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never be known simply by working very hard and taxing the good brain, nor can he be known simply by mental speculation and jugglery of words. The Lord is knowable only by one who is a surrendered soul. Here, Brahmaji, the greatest of all material living beings, acknowledges this truth. Therefore, the fruitless spoiling of energy by pursuing the path of experimental knowledge must be given up. One should gain knowledge by surrendering unto the Lord and by acknowledging the authority of the persons mentioned herein. The Lord is unlimited, and by the grace of Yogamaya, helps the surrendered soul to know him proportionately with the advance of one's surrender. Lord Brahma, he is explaining in this verse the glories of these great personalities, Paramhamsas, on the path of devotion. All of these great souls have actually understood the transcendental potencies of the Lord to some extent due to only one characteristic. They all have one thing in common, that they surrender their lives with humility and devotion to the service of the Lord. And they submissively heard from great authorities who had surrendered their lives to the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the only true process by which we can understand that which is beyond the perceptions of our material mind and senses. When Krishna reveals himself to us, only then can we understand him in truth. Krishna explains in Gita, Saravasya chaham hridisha nibhishto matasmati rajnanam apohanam cha. That within everyone's heart, he is the source of knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. According to our surrender to Krishna, he reveals himself accordingly, from within and from without. For those who want to live independent of the will of the Lord, to such a person, the Lord from within the heart creates a cloud of illusion which makes us forget everything about the truth of reality. It is actually something quite wonderful. How is it that the eternal soul, which is full of knowledge and full of bliss, which is liberated and full of light, which has an intimate relationship with the supreme all-attractive personality of Godhead, which has a spiritual body, which is inexhaustive power to enjoy, why such a soul would possibly want to identify himself with this gross body, which is meant, as yesterday we read, to be eaten by dogs and vultures, where we cough up mucus, and with so many diseases, and hunger, and thirst, and sleep, and so many broken hearts and mental anxieties? Why does the soul possibly want to give up loving Krishna, serving Krishna, and enter into the arena of misery? It doesn't make sense. But it is by the power of the Supreme Godhead. He has such power that even though we are of such a blissful nature, he makes us forget it and think we're something that we're absolutely not, this body and of this world. This is a tremendous power of God. Just like if I come before Radhe Shyam Prabhu and I say, "You are not Radhe Shyam Prabhu. You are actually you are Mother Prem Leela." Oh, how will I convince him he is Mother Prem Leela? The size is completely different. The mentality is completely different. The place they live is completely different. He's a brahmachari, she's a mataji. How will I ever... I don't have that power to convince him that he's walking around saying, "I am Prem Leela Mataji." And today I will tell Adi Keshav what to do, and I will I will sit on the marriage board meeting. And then I'll make garlands with the Matajis. And then I will give all my motherly love to Madhava. Does any of us in this room have the power to make him actually believe that? To forget who he is and think he's someone he's not? This is a tremendous, inconceivable mystic power. But this is the power of the Lord within the heart. Actually, you are no more your body than Radhe Shyam is Mother Prem Leela. In this way, Krishna within has such immense power because you want to enjoy separate from him through his yogamaya potency. Naham prakasha saravasya yogamaya samavrata. Bhutoyam nabhijanati loko mamachamabhyayam. Krishna actually creates such an incredible miracle that you totally forget who you are, what you are, where you are, and you think you're something else. It's wonderful. Therefore, the great souls, they simply, when they see this material world, where everyone thinks they're something they're not, the power of the knowledge, the ecstasy of the soul is so great. How can you possibly forget that and think you're a slab of flesh, blood, mucus, bile, air, stool, urine, hairs, and all other bodily ingredients? How is it possible? Therefore, devotees, when they see people in this illusion, they just offer their obeisances to Krishna. How great you are. What power you have. You are the Supreme Personality of God. So Krishna is the source of forgetfulness. But he's also the source of remembrance and knowledge. And ultimately the only source. No one can make you forget you're the eternal soul except Krishna. And no one can remind you and give you a realization, an experience of your eternal nature except Krishna. Because Krishna is Sarveshwareshwara. He is the controller of all controllers. He is controlling both the material energy, which first casts us down into illusion and then keeps us covered in that illusion. And he is the controller of the spiritual energy, which lifts us out of the ocean of birth and death and puts us in a relationship where we can everlastingly serve him with love and devotion. Everything is happening by the sweet will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is his supreme power. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. And how to attract Krishna to want us to remember him, to reveal himself to us. That is the real purpose of human life. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. To understand what is truth, to come out of illusion. Now, Vedanta Sutra says atato. Atato means at this moment, now. Brahma Jigyasa. This is the time to inquire into Brahman, to understand and realize who we are, what is our relationship with God, what is our relationship with this material world, why are we suffering, and what is our duty, our purpose of life. These are the questions every human being should ask. Otherwise, our human life is wasted, miserly. And we die like the cats and dogs without understanding self-realization. There is no means of understanding the truth except by the grace of Krishna. There are different processes by which we try to acquire knowledge, pratyaksha. By our own limited sense perceptions, we investigate, we perceive and come to certain conclusions. But unfortunately, the senses are limited, and the mind is limited. We cannot even see what is outside of this room. We cannot even see what is in our own hand. With our eyes, we cannot see what our hand actually is. All the cells, all the molecules, all the atoms, we cannot see what it is. All we see is just some slab of flesh. People would not be so attracted to flesh if they had more penetrating eyes. Have you ever looked in a microscope what the cells look like? They're all just moving around and floating around. And within them, there's all these little molecules, and then there's atoms, and then there's electrons and neutrons, and they're all just moving around like this. Can you imagine if you were to look at somebody and you would just see their whole body go moving around, just cells and molecules and atoms and electrons and neutrons? You would not at all be attracted to that person. There would be no question of lusty desires. You would just think, oh my God, just put her in a science book. It's disgusting. But that's actually what it is. But because our eyes are so gross, we don't see any of that. We just see just the grossest, most ridiculously external appearance of flesh and hairs and eyes. We say, oh, your eyes are so beautiful. But if your eyes could actually look a little deeper into what their eyes are, you would see all these cells and atoms just moving around like anything. It would just, you couldn't even look at them. Look at an eye under a microscope and tell me if your senses become agitated. It's not possible. Because our senses are so gross. We cannot see anything as it is. We cannot see what's far away. We cannot see what is close by. We cannot see anything as it is. And with our ears, we cannot hear anything that's being spoken even in the next room. And even in this room, if the pitch is too high or too low, we cannot hear it. This is the condition of our senses. So how can we understand the absolute truth beyond matter altogether? We cannot even fathom the truth of matter with our senses. What to speak of? What is beyond matter? And there is Anuman, trying to understand through inductive reasoning and through inferences. This is like this and that is like that, so this must be like this. So much speculation. We cannot see it, but we'll try to figure it out through this process, through coming to various conclusions beyond our sense perception on the basis of what we see with our senses. But we have these defects. We have these imperfect senses. We are invariably illusioned. We commit mistakes. We have all tendency to cheat. Therefore, it is impossible to understand the truth of anything. Material, what to speak of spiritual, with the apparatuses that we are working with. Therefore, the only process by which we can actually understand what is reality is through Shruti, through hearing submissively. From those surrendered souls who have heard from great authorities coming down in the disciplic succession of the Lord. Bhaktosi me shaka cheti rahasyam yetat utamam. Krishna says to Arjuna, you can understand the mysteries of my existence and my nature because you are my devotee, because you are my friend, because you have surrendered to me. That is your qualification. And Srila Prabhupada was very strong on this point, that Bhagavad Gita is teaching that you must be a devotee and hear in the mood of a devotee. Otherwise, you cannot understand Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Actually, Krishna is everywhere through his diversified energies. But why we cannot see him, recognize him, or love him? Simply because he is not revealing himself. And in the same way, Krishna is in every word on every page of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that if you were to understand any single syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam, you would be an enlightened soul in ecstatic love of God, and you would go back home, back to Godhead. Not that you have to understand all 18,000 slokas, in every, but any single syllable of any word. Why? Because the Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna. Every part of it is Krishna. And we are reading the words every morning. Why tears of ecstatic love are not flowing from our eyes? Why our limbs are not trembling in love? Why we are not straining ourselves to somehow or other hide these emotions? Instead, we're straining ourselves to stay awake. What kind of difference is this? It is because even in Gita, in Bhagavat, Krishna reveals himself to the degree we surrender to him. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. The path, the only true path of understanding Godhead is to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. And here a long, beautiful list of Mahajans is being described. And if we had about 10 hours, we can discuss the story of each of these devotees and the list. Each one is a person whose conclusion in life was to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with love, with devotion. And let us just, with our limited perception of sight, let us just choose one name. Ranti Dev. What kind of a devotee was he? He was a king. He had beautiful palace. He had queen. He had children. He had everything. But he was performing a fast. He was fasting because he wanted to purify his own heart, and he also wanted to perform this yajna, because whatever the great souls do, whatever the father does, all the children benefit. So the king is the father of the whole human society, of his kingdom. In fact, not only humans, but all creatures within his kingdom are praja. So he was performing yajna for the spiritual benefit and awakening for everyone. And he was fasting. For so many days he was fasting. And then it was time for him to break his fast. And he was on the verge of death. He hadn't drunk water. He hadn't eaten. And then some nice prasad was brought into him. And he was about to eat the prasad. And just at that moment, a Brahmin came and said, "I have come, Maharaj, to beg some prasad from you." So he gave half his prasad to him. Then Ranti Dev was about to sit down and eat. And then another beggar came to his door and said, actually this person was a, what was he? He was a, with dogs, chandala or something. And he had so many dogs with him. He said, "I am hungry, please give me prasad." So Ranti Dev gave him the other half of prasad. And then he was just trembling due to hunger, on the verge of death. And he was about to drink water to somehow or other sustain his life. And then the person said, "My dogs are thirsty, please give them water." So he gave all the water to the dogs. But before he gave it, he offered a prayer. He offered a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, "My dear Lord, that I am your servant. I am not meant just to live long and enjoy in this world. I am meant only to serve you. And there's no better way to serve you than to serve your children, to serve those living beings who are my brothers and sisters in this world. To be willing to give up one's life, to die, for the purpose of giving welfare to other living beings in need is the greatest privilege, the greatest fortune, because it is so dear to you. Therefore, at this time, I give whatever water and food I have to these beggars and to these dogs, and I'm ready to die, sacrificing my life for the betterment of others." Of course, we should know that Ranti Dev was not giving ordinary food. He was giving prasad, food for life. He was willing to die to give prasad to others for their spiritual and physical well-being. And after offering that prayer, he gave it all away. And just at that moment, the Brahmin, the beggar, the chandala, the dogs, they all became demigods. They said, Ranti Dev, we wanted to show the world what kind of surrendered soul you are. Because you have such love and devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have such concern and consideration for every part and parcel of the Lord in everyone's heart. Because you know by serving the people of this world, even the animals of this world, you know that is so dear to the Lord, you have shown your love for the Lord and your surrender in the most remarkable and amazing way. Let the whole world glorify you and let you live a long life. These are the types of people only who can understand the truth about Krishna. Because of their devotion, their surrender, their humility, Krishna becomes controlled by that devotion. And he naturally reveals himself to that devotee. And only such a devotee can read Bhagavad Gita and come to the real conclusions by the grace of Krishna. No one else. Therefore, our great acharyas warn us, do not hear the scriptures from professional reciters. Do not hear the scriptures from people who are not genuinely, sincerely humble servants of the previous acharyas. Because they may be able to speak in a very romantic, in a very captivating way, but they cannot understand, nor can they induce a true understanding in us. Lord Brahma, he's the best scientist. What are these little human species scientists? What is their greatness? They can make a computer that's smaller than the latest model. I don't know anything about computers, but I hear people talking about chips and all these things. Like, so they're making all these little chips. And they're making radios and tape recorders very, very tiny small. The Japanese are conquering the world because they make everything so small. And they charge the smaller they make it, the larger the price becomes. This is material economy, economics. And we are thinking, oh, how advanced they are in science. At one time, an IBM computer took up practically this whole room. Now the same thing can sit on your leg, and you don't even feel its weight, and performs the same purpose. Oh, the scientists are so intelligent. Well, what has Brahma done? The scientists are somehow discovering a little bit of the power and energy within an atom. But Lord Brahma has put all that energy in the atom. He's invented all the atoms. He's invented all species of life. He's invented all the planets. Our scientists today, they can make an airplane, big, big airplane that can fly across the ocean. But what kind of airplane? Sometimes they crash, and they all need fuel. Just like to get from India to America, you cannot go direct. You have to stop somewhere. Even the best airplane, they have to stop in London or Frankfurt or somewhere to get refuel. Otherwise, as soon as the fuel runs out, they just fall in the water and everyone dies. But Lord Brahma has created these planets, and they are floating in space around the pole star, even the sun. What is it? Something like 36,000 miles a second. Yeah? Something like that. The sun is traveling around the pole star. And all the other planets are traveling. And we're all traveling so fast, we don't even know we're moving. We can't even see movement.
And all these planets are floating within this universe for millions and millions, billions of years. And there's no fuel. And you don't have, Brahma can arrange it and keep it all happening, and he could be sitting in his Brahma Loka with Saraswati and with so many other wonderful people, and he's not even thinking about it. It's all on automatic pilot. What kind of scientist is Lord Brahma? He is the greatest scientist. If anybody, if anyone could discover that life comes from matter, then Brahma could do it. If he can't do it, then we should just give up the ridiculous, futile attempt. Because what are we compared to him? What is our science compared to his? And here Brahma is explaining that Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna, Govinda, is the source of everything. He is the ultimate worshipable object. He is the supreme controller of all controllers. And you can only know him by following in the footsteps of the Mahajans. You can only know him by learning how to surrender to him from those who have already surrendered to him. There is no other means of transcendental knowledge. Krishna says in Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorajuna. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities never has to take birth in this material world again, but attains my eternal abode. But how to understand the transcendental nature of his appearance and activity? It is not through our sense perception. It is not through our mental speculation. It is only by the grace of the Lord himself that makes that understanding awaken in our heart. And he only reveals himself to those who are honestly and sincerely surrendering to those persons and those instructions given by those who have surrendered honestly and sincerely to the Lord. There is no other way, no other way, no other way. This beautiful list of transcendental personalities, Vibhishan was born in the dynasty of Rakshasas. He was actually a Daitya. But by his good intelligence, he understood that Ram is the Supreme Personality of God. And he so boldly went against all of his family members and completely disappointed everyone in his caste. It is a fact. In the absence of the father, in traditional culture, the eldest brother is your father. So Ravana was his eldest brother. That means Ravana was like acting in the post of his father. And he was a very successful father as far as his materialistic ways. And Vibhishan told Ravana that you are a fool, that you should give Sita back to Ram, and you should surrender to Ram. And Ravana was ready to kill him. He was ready to kill Vibhishan. But his minister said, you should not kill your brother. So Vibhishan rejected his father. He left home. He left all the beauty, glories of his golden palace in Sri Lanka. All the prestige of being the brother. There were three brothers, not ordinary brothers, Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And they were both very angry at Vibhishan. But he was fearless.
He understood, I must surrender to Ram.
And when he came across the ocean, the monkeys were very suspicious. It's Ravana's brother. We should kidnap him. We should make him a prisoner. We should kill him. We should do something. But when he fell down at the lotus feet of Ram with tears in his eyes, I am surrendered to you. Ram embraced him and accepted him as one of his dearmost associates. He left home, breaking the hearts of all of his relatives, all of his caste, to join the Hari Rama movement. The Hari Rama, Hari Krishna movement. But that's what it takes to surrender. Sometimes you have to break the hearts of people. But ultimately, it was because of Bibhishan's surrender that ultimately Ravana went back to God and got liberated. And Hanuman, he wasn't even a human. He was of the monkey species, Varana species. In Kishkindha Kshetra, he was born of Keshari Raj and Anjana Devi. They were monkeys, and he was monkey. But yet, he had such unalloyed devotion to Ram, was willing to do anything and everything only for the pleasure of Ram, whose life and soul was simply to chant the holy names of Ram.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.
We find here all this in this list, there is all varieties of kinds of people from different backgrounds. Some are Brahmins, some are Kshatriyas, some are Vaishyas, some are Shudra families. Some are Brahmachari, some are Grihasthas, some are Vanaprasthas, some are Sannyasis. In this list, we find some are born of demigods, some are born of demons. Some are rich. Shutadev was just a very poor Brahmin living in Mithila. When Krishna came to Mithila, Bahulashva was the king, and Shutadev was a very, very simple, poverty-stricken Brahmin. They both greeted Krishna, and they both had so much love and devotion. They invited Krishna, please come to our home and accept our offerings. This is the tradition in India, a great soul. Please sanctify my house with your lotus feet. They wanted to serve him, but not like the people of India today. They want you to sanctify their house with your feet because they're thinking that then, because he's a servant of Krishna, and Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune, if he puts his feet, then maybe we'll get more money. Or maybe everyone will be healthy and everything else. So sadhus do not like to go to such houses, who simply are asking and expecting material benefits. But Shrutadeva and Bahulashma wanted him to come simply so that they can offer their home, their families, everything they had in his service. So Krishna did not discriminate. Sometimes we discriminate. If I go to this house, then I'll get very nice prasad. But if I go to this house, they're not very rich. They will just give me some rice, or some chida, chipped rice. Krishna only considers bhakti. So they both had bhakti. So he expanded himself into two and went to both houses. And in Bahulashva's house, it was a big castle, palace. There was people dancing and singing, and there was wonderful, wonderful cooks cooking huge, opulent feasts, and he was giving them silks and gold and jewels and everything. He put Krishna on his throne, and Krishna was enjoying like anything, because it was all being offered with pure devotion. Worldly opulence is not a disqualification if it is offered in a spirit of bhakti. And meanwhile, simultaneously at Shukadev's house, he just gave Krishna a little piece of grass mat to sit on. That's all he had. And he didn't have beautiful chamara fans. He just had his chadar. He was just fanning Krishna like this. And he didn't have any beautiful dancing people, dancing women and dancing professionals. He started to dance himself. And as far as food, he just gave Krishna whatever little he had, some rice. And as he offered his whole family, they are all your servants. They washed his feet, they drank the water, they worshipped him. Krishna did not see a difference between Bahulashva and Shukadeva. He did not discriminate against Bahulashva because he was rich. And he did not discriminate against Shukadeva because he was poor. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. He saw them equal because they both surrendered their lives to serve him and to please him. So it is through such surrendered souls, through hearing their lives, through hearing their teachings, through worshipping them, that we can please Krishna. And thus Krishna reveals himself when he is pleased with us, through becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of such surrendered souls. That is the only true path of perfection. So let us give up all other hopes, and somehow or other in the association. This particular sloka that we are reading today explains that only the surrendered souls can know how Krishna acts through his yoga maya potencies. And of course, this sloka takes place after Shukadeva Goswami is explaining from Lord Brahma's own mouth, he's describing Brahma's narration to Narada, various incarnations of Godhead. Such wonderful incarnations. Materialistic people think this must be mythology. Or as Prabhupada said, mythology. That they are just stories. Just stories made up by gentle and very highly learned seers of the truth, in order to give certain philosophical lessons to the less intelligent people, they package these lessons in story form. Because for common people in the age of Kali, Kale Shudra Shambhave, everyone's Shudra in the age of Kali. For people who are Shudras, who are coming from fallen conditions of being Brahmins, which is everybody, to children, to women, how will they understand the Upanishads, where such deep, profound philosophical truths are explained? Therefore, those people who are cheaters and less intelligent, they assume and they teach that the Upanishads are too high for the common people. Therefore, those same teachings are put in story form with the same lessons so you can understand it easily. Actually, that's true. They have been put in story form so we can understand. But at the same time, those stories are true stories. They are factual history of the various activities of the Lord and his empowered devotees. But the less intelligent say it is not true. It is science fiction. It is just a means. Poetic license. To get the message through, you can make up any story. After all, how is it possible that the Lord can take birth as a fish that's millions of miles big. We have never seen a fish millions of miles big. And this Earth planet is only about 25,000 miles around, so where's the fish going to swim if he's millions of miles big? But there's nice teachings that we can learn from this story, so that is what we should concentrate on. But the Acharyas say, no. Those teachings will all bring you to the wrong conclusions unless you accept the factual, historical truth of the story. The teachings will give you so much philosophical idea, but the conclusion will be impersonal and will not, it will conclude in a higher understanding, perhaps, of the illusions of this world and the nature of suffering, but the means out of the suffering through realization can only come through devotion, through pleasing the Lord. And there cannot be devotion, real devotion, unless you accept all these beautiful Puranic histories as fact. Unless we have faith and believe that God is great and here is how great God is and he is a person, we cannot surrender. We can do everything but surrender. Sarvadharman puritya mame kam sharanam braja. And ultimately we should abandon everything except surrender. So these great souls, they understand how the Lord through his Yogamaya potencies are performing such incredible pastimes. And we want to hear these pastimes again and again and again. How the Lord as Kurmavatar came as a tortoise with a shell, 800,000 miles across. And how Varahadev picked up the entire earth with his little tusks effortlessly. And how Vamanadev, a little dwarf, became Trivikram and covered the entire universe with two steps. These are wonderful stories, factual stories. And we must learn to have faith in the inconceivable transcendental power of God. He can do anything, at any time, anywhere, in any way, because he is the controller of all controllers. That is Krishna. Why should we doubt? And Krishna, the source of all incarnations, how he lifted the Govardhan hill with the little finger of his left hand. How he took Arjuna on his chariot all the way to see Mahavishnu directly. How Krishna, in Dwarka, married 16,108 queens and built beautiful, beautiful palaces for each one of his 16,108 queens. And how each one of them had 10 children, and each one of them had 10 grandchildren. And Maharaj Ugrasena himself had millions and millions of servants and maidservants, and how they were all living on a tiny little island called Dwarka. The population of Dwarka, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, was bigger than the entire population of the world today. And they were all in a little island. And there was no talk about overpopulation or birth control or family planning or any nonsense like that. How is it? Now, the population of the world on the whole planet, everyone, all the politicians are having international meetings, what to do about the population explosion. The problem is not population explosion. The problem is no faith in God. A population far greater than the entire earth today was living on the little island of Dwarka. And in Bhagavatam, we don't read about traffic jams like Bombay, where people are jamming into trains to go to the Sudharma assembly house, trampling each other, where there's all kinds of air pollution and traffic jams and people honking at each other, and you just to get from one part of Dwarka to another takes 5 minutes in the early morning, but 5 hours once people wake up. We don't read that. We just read about beautiful parks and wonderful lakes. Every palace had miles of parks and lakes and swans and peacocks. And everyone in Dwarka was dressed in silks and gold and jewels. And everyone was dancing. There was plenty room, plenty space, all flower-bearing trees. Krishna can do anything if he's pleased to do so. He is the creator of the creator. By his yogamaya potency, there is no limitation. If he wants to give pleasure to his devotees, he is beyond the laws of time and space. All our conceptions of geography, geometry, they are all relative, but Krishna is absolute. When Krishna was dancing with gopis that one night, within the 12 hours of that night, he fit in one night of Brahma. How much is a night of Brahma? 4,032,000 years. Yes? No. How much? Four. Billion. Billion. 4.3 billion years. It's a night of Brahma. And Krishna can put a whole full, could put billions of years in 12 hours. Now you may think, what is it? This is all word jugglery. That the gopis enjoyed the Ras Leela for an entire day of the span of time of the day of Brahma, and meanwhile, when their relatives woke up, they were back in bed with them. You may think, but actually it's true, Krishna. He's not limited. He's the controller of time. He can do anything he wants with time. He could do anything he wants with space. He can do anything. And when he appears in this world to attract our hearts and minds back to him, he does do anything. Avajananti mamudha manu simtanam ashrita. He is not an ordinary living being. He is the supreme, inexhaustible, all-powerful personality of Godhead. So we must hear from those who have surrendered to him. And by hearing from those who surrender to him, we develop faith. And through such faith, we want to serve. And through such service, we please the Lord. And through pleasing the Lord reveals everything to us from within our heart. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Yes, Mataji first.
Our original position as a spirit soul, how did we develop the desire to enjoy independently from Krishna, since Krishna is the source and controller of everything? I mean, how did that desire to enjoy independently from Krishna came?
The soul, by nature, as part of Krishna, is sentient. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity thou hast removed. The absolute truth is sentient. And as part and parcel of the absolute truth, every spirit soul is also sentient. Sentient means with desires, with personality, individuality, and desires. And in order to have desires, Krishna has given us independence to desire. Because Krishna is independent. Being part and parcel of Him, we also have independence. So it is our eternal nature to have free will. And you ask how we made the wrong choice? That you may not be able to understand specifically and exactly, but in principle you can understand that you did make the wrong choice. Krishna gives us all the choice to love Him or to leave Him. And we chose to leave Him. That is our foolishness. But Krishna is so merciful, He is so kind, that the purpose of giving us that choice is for the reciprocation of real love, and this whole material world has simply been created to show us how miserable it is to make the wrong choice, so that by our own free will we will make the right choice and surrender to Him. So if you think that you can, by your nice arrangements, make this world a nice place to live, you are very foolish, because the whole purpose of the world has been created to make you suffer. Enough enjoyment to become attached to things, and then enough misery to ultimately give you the realization that these attachments are not giving me pleasure. I should dovetail my attachments to Krishna by hearing about Him, by chanting about Him. Yes?
Maharaj, in all the classes we hear from you that Krishna reveals Himself only by sweet will. No, our endeavor, nothing works out in that. Now supposing if we try to hear submissively, try to surrender to the spiritual master, do whatever he tells us. But supposing Krishna doesn't have that will to reveal Himself to us, then what to do?
Continue chanting the holy names of the Lord.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
That's all. First thing you should do is stop thinking you're a totally surrendered soul. We should always be striving to improve the quality of our surrender. If Krishna is not revealing Himself to us, we should not think, I am surrendered. Why Krishna is not keeping His promise? Rather, we should think, what is my inefficiency? What is it I'm still holding on to that's not attracting Krishna? We should go deeper and deeper into the path of humility and devotion. And we should have patience that we will carry on following the instructions of Krishna coming through Parampara. If it takes millions of births, it doesn't matter. But there's nothing else to live for. That should be our conviction. When you have that conviction, Krishna will reveal Himself to you in due course of time. But if you are making conditions that I have chanted 16 rounds and I've tried to be attentive for the past 4 years and I'm not seeing Krishna dancing, therefore, what is this? Why? A devotee is willing to do it for Mukunda Dutt, was willing to wait 10 million births chanting the holy names and strictly following the regulative principles. And if Krishna were to appear to him in 10 million births, it was worth it. There's nothing else to live for. When you have that consciousness, then Krishna will be really pleased upon you. Krishna reveals himself when you unconditionally surrender to making him happy by everything you do. As long as we make conditions, those conditions block the power of our devotion from attracting the heart of Krishna. Krishna is all attractive, but our life is to attract Krishna. Attract Krishna to want to attract us. By being the servant of his servants and chanting his holy names. Any other questions? Yes, Paramahamsa Prabhu.
Maharaj, as you said, Rantidev, he was very charitable in nature, and anyone who approached him, he offered everything. In our practical day-to-day life, we come across so many beggars and so many people who ask different things to us. In that condition, we don't have even prasad with us. So what should be our consciousness and how should we deal with them in that situation?
You should give them something. You should never let a beggar go away with nothing. Give them prasad. Give them the holy name. Give them a prayer. Give them something. We should not be hard-hearted. Whatever they're coming to us for, we should give them something valuable, somehow or other. We should not think ourselves better than them. We should consider ourselves the servant of everyone and try to serve by giving the best thing, by somehow connecting them to Krishna. That is the best. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.